Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
The show that takes you home. The Homestretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome to the Homestretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. No Facebook Live, live in studio on a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon. It is Tuesday, so Life Lessons with Lebo happening today. Lebo right now is in the dark.
I like it in here. It's cold and dark.
Are you fishing in there?
I am fishing in the dark.
Yeah, nitty-gritty band going on in there.
Nitty-gritty dirt band.
I don't understand this. You look like you just hate the sun. You have all the blinds closed.
I didn't have anything. I just walked into this room.
Zero light going on in there.
It's good in here. I like it dark. What do I need to see?
I don't like
you're lit up.
And I hate it because you can see me clearly and I have a glare trying to see you. I'll not turn a fan.
I'll turn the lights on if you want me to.
Kinda. I went to the Royals game last night.
Mm-hmm.
The comeback was fun.
It was.
When the Royals tied at 3-3. So I'm sitting right above the bullpen in left. Okay, so the visitor's bullpen. I know it switches, but that's the visitor's bullpen now. A lot of fun because Woods Ball coming right there. I'm surrounded by all White Sox fans.
Them.
And I can't even give them a hard time because they're all from Chicago.
Yeah, they're not these bandwagon people.
And by the way, if you're a bandwagon fan, probably not picking the White Sox.
No, although they were in the playoffs last year.
They don't seem to have that same bandwagon fan appeal.
No.
So they were from Chicago. And my main takeaway was, one, they all love the downtown stadium. Which, hate to break it to them, when the stadium moves or the current stadium, when the stadium moves downtown,
they're
not going to like that.
They like to be able to just come in and park. And
they loved it. And one came with their kid who was 11, so he is like very family friendly. The kid had 4 or 5 balls thrown to him from the bullpen guys. I'm just sitting here like, hey, let me take that Liam Hendricks ball off your hands. Come on.
Hey, as an aside, do you remember when Liam Hendricks, who is a stud, wasn't good enough to be in the Royals bullpen because the Royals bullpen was so good.
And then he went to the Athletics, correct?
They traded him away for like nothing.
To the Athletics?
Might have released him. They traded him for like basically nothing. And it was like, because that was the after 2014.
But he was young. I mean, he would have been
2014. They're like, this bullpen is so good that we don't need this guy. That's just where we are right now in the world.
And now he's still looking dominant as ever. Actually, in fairness to the Royals, he was not what he once was. Or he was what he is now is not what he was before. No one knew he was going to turn into one of the best relievers.
But it is pretty amazing. That tells you how good the Royals bullpen was those years. That a guy who has this promise or whatever, we don't need him. Don't need him.
We trust Ryan Madsen more.
Yeah, worked out, didn't it?
It sure did.
I was out there as well. I'd been out there most of the day yesterday with all the hitting coach news, and then actually went home for a while. Then I came back out to get post game because Monday's my day to get post game.
Oh, you have to work?
And
it's too bad.
I just grind, and
you love the grind.
It was a little. I mean, there was nothing happening. The Royals were toast. There was nothing going on of note. Nothing good. And all of a sudden, just real quick, scored a few runs, tied it up, and it was very exciting. They only announced 12,000 people at the game, but tell me what you thought being out there in it. Pretty loud, 12,000.
Yeah,
I mean, they were into it and excited. I mean, it just makes you miss when the Royals were good and people would come out there because I think it's an absolute difference maker when you have some atmosphere at a game.
When they tied it up, I'm with you. It was loud in there. It was fun. The atmosphere was outstanding. I hate the wave, but the wave was going around the stadium.
And the Let's Go Royals.
The Let's Go Royals.
And people are chanting for Bobby Witt.
There was a whole Bobby chant breaking out when he came up to the bat, and he smoked the ball too bad the second baseman was right there. That was one of the few we can actually say that was bad luck, hard hit ball right at a guy. Yeah. I hate when announcers go, well, you know, Whit Merrifield earlier on in the season was like, oh, he's hitting the ball just right out guys. Sure, but it's 64-mile exit velo. Mm-hmm. That thing's he's lobbing it out there. And what really hurt, too, was that first run that Brad Keller gave up, who settled in extremely nicely as the game progressed. That first run was not on him. Yeah. Andrew Benintendi got a horrible jump, decided to jog there, and then look at Michael A. Taylor as if a ball directly hit to left was Michael A. Taylor's ball. So Brad Keller really pitched a nice game, got out of some trouble. The home run he gave up to Grandal was an absolute line drive. That was a missile.
Yep.
But I think Brad Keller pitched really, really nice. I think Scott Barlow, for the most part, pitched a really good ninth and tenth inning. He got the hard guys out. Josh Harrison's on second, strikes out the first two guys, doesn't let the runner advance, and then he just hung a slider to Luis Robert. And the second he hit that, I just sat down and go, that's
when,
gone.
When I went back and looked at it, the pitch wasn't great. It wasn't one of those really awful ones. Luis Robert's a stud, though.
Sure.
It caught too much of the plate, but when he first hit, I'm like, oh, God, that was a terrible pitch. And then I watched it again. I'm like, eh.
It was still down and away, but it wasn't down and away for a 1-2 count.
Yeah, it was, there's a reason they gave that kid all that money to come out of Cuba. He's a good player. It's a tough spot for Barlow. You know, they playing two today. You don't have time. You can't just exhaust everyone in the bullpen, and he had so few pitches in the night, they sent him back out there, and it was pretty good until it wasn't.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I had no issue or qualms with Matheny sending him back out there, and again, those first two batters, he made them look silly, right? Mm-hmm. It just came down to Luis Robert got the better of him. And
sometimes
this is what
you're going to get got.
And this is what's frustrating, though. When you look at other teams, they don't miss the hangers, or they actually take advantage of pitches when guys miss their spot. Royals don't.
No, and that's why they've made a change.
How often have I seen Dozier have a ball down the middle and he fouls it straight back? And you're like, well, he was just on it.
Or else he wasn't on it.
Sure. You should be just on it when it's low and outside, when it's on the corner of the strike zone. When it's in the middle of the zone, you got to do something with it. And that's what the Royals have had an issue with. And I don't know about you. I don't think this is going to change anything necessarily. At least we won't see it for a while. But something had to happen. I was surprised it was Terry Bradshaw before Cal Eldred.
Well, that's one of the big topics yesterday. I was out there and, talking to the principals, as it were. And, you know, it's much like a lot of things. It's pretty poor timing just the way it worked out, because they had made kind of an organizational sea change on hitting approach recently. And this is probably something that could have or should have been done before the season started or whatever. But, you know.
And that's my main issue here.
They had a lockout. They had a pandemic last year.
Every team had to deal the same thing, though.
Yeah, well, not every team changed everything they've done with their organization as far as the approach of hitting and how to get it done. And, you know, the Royals are a very loyal outfit, and that's a good thing generally. But it can be a bad thing as well. Listen, in the end, I don't care who your hitting coach is. You're standing there with a bat in your hand and you're throwing the ball.
Yeah.
It's on you
to
figure out what you're doing. And I don't think he's up there telling people, you know what you ought to do is just let the good ones go and swing at the bad ones, especially when it's a big spot in the game.
Yeah.
Okay? That's not what any hitting coach would do. So I think he's gone. So
sure.
Whatever. It doesn't really matter.
He didn't deserve to keep his job. He may not have had the biggest influence. I don't think hitting coach is this game changer, right? I look around the Major League Baseball. I think pitching coach personally has a bigger impact just looking at what good teams do, right? But still, something had to change.
Yeah, well, that's where they were with this organization and how the season had started out. And you know, they just always get tantalized. Because, like, they've been bad. But yesterday they were 6.5 games out of first place. So you're like, well, gosh, man, 6.5 is not that much, you know. A couple good weeks, and you're good to go. But
the White Sox, too.
We sit there and watch them, and you're like, they don't look like they're a team that should win a division or anything. But here's what we know. Someone's going to win this bad division. And they're like, why not us? Because that's the way they've gone through their entire success. Why not us?
Sure.
when they won it all in 15 and especially in 14, when they competed and made it to the World Series, I mean, they were an underdog, and you know, it wasn't like there was some foregone conclusion that they were going to win. They just want to get in the tournament, right? Get in the field. And that's why they probably took a chance in 2020 with having Brady Singer come up, because it was only 60 games. Man, it'd be easy to make the playoffs in 60 games. And that's why in 2017, in July, when they were only two back of Cleveland, they made this big trade and brought all these Padres relievers over there. And you're like, but you're not as good as Cleveland. But we're only two back at Cleveland. Well, they lost by 22 games because Cleveland turned it on. So they always just right there, and they can't quit because they had that taste. They had that taste in 14 and 15, and they think, we could just do this and that. And it's, you know, so that's where they are right now. We're only 6.5 back. You're not good enough.
Remember Maurer?
Oh, he was awful.
Dude.
8.5 ERA or something.
I will always die on the hill that I'm wrong. I thought he was eventually going to turn into Kelvin Herrera because they had very similar stuff.
It didn't work out that way.
Didn't work out, like, at all.
No.
Really bad calls.
That's not the way it ended up working.
Not good. Did not get that one correct. One of my worst guys, because like, for the longest time, he's getting shelled, and I'm still sitting here going.
Dude, look at this. This guy's got this
stuff,
man.
But look, he throws 98 in a filthy slider. He's going to figure it out. Look how long it took Herrera. It took Herrera a long time to figure it out, too.
Well, Herrera was better than him.
Yeah, I was wrong. Not right. Some of my other takeaways from the game last night. Why do White Sox fans say sacks? There's a dude in front of me who kept saying sacks.
I don't know.
Like White Sacks.
Maybe Steve Sacks.
Am I trying to go to Yakety Sacks?
Don't talk back.
Am I trying to go to Goldman Sachs?
Sacks, Fifth Avenue?
There we go. Anymore? I don't have any more Sacks jokes. Sacks man.
Saxophone?
Yeah, Sacks. There we go, saxophone. Sacks man, same thing.
Yeah. Sacks machine?
That's
sex.
I get you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, James Brown.
Sack of donuts, bag of donuts, sack.
And also, one other part, which is not good when you know there's not enough fans. I know it got louder as the game progressed, but it was so boring until the bottom eight.
Royals got someone on base.
Was that bottom eight?
Yeah. Until old man Johnny Cueto quit crushing them.
Yes, Johnny Cueto. That guy with his shimmies. Given salsa lessons
just
on the
up
field.
From minor league baseball.
First start off, of the year.
How wild is it that Johnny Cueto signed one of those minor league deals to start the year? And like he had to be up by the 15th, or it was not going to be guaranteed. You know, it was one of those deals. The Royals did that. God, who did they sign to one of those things way back in the day? And you're like, what is this guy doing? One of those veteran guys.
Sure.
And
Jimmy Moyer.
Johnny Cueto made a lot of money.
Yeah.
After he left the Royals.
Well, this is probably a dude who loves baseball.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? You know, but he made a lot of money, man. That contract he got with the Giants was huge. And then he got another one after that, a little shorter one. And now he's just sitting there running around like minor league baseball. He's sitting on a bus with the kids till last week. Come on up and beat the team that you helped win a World Series. What a world.
And he looked incredible.
He did.
As Johnny Cueto does. But I was going to say, it's not good when your fans get the loudest during games during the hot dog race.
No, the hot dog race is usually pretty exciting.
And it wasn't even a live hot dog race. It was the one on the screen.
Video.
It was the video. Good mustard one. Thank you.
Mustard's good.
I'm team mustard, just by the way. What are
always. You? Always. Mustard.
Okay, good. Yeah, so we're on the same
never
page.
Never root for relish.
Yeah, I threw down a lot of money betting that, you know, pregame, so.
You could probably find out who's going to win that before if you just knew the right people.
That's cheating.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a man
it's
of the people.
Finding an
man
edge.
Of the game.
Isn't
okay.
An edge? You always gonna look for an edge when you're gambling.
Also, do you know who Red Tail is? That mascot? There's someone who walked into the stadium in a Red Tail. It's a bird, and it says jersey number Red Tail.
I don't know that person.
I don't either, but how do they get in? My main question was, how did they get in a mascot uniform, and they were next to someone in a Rascal who brought in Quick Trip? And I'm just sitting here going, how do I get a Rascal to bring in Quick? Because that just seems like a power move
FYI,
right there.
You don't want to be in a Rascal.
If I can bring in free Quick Trip, if I'm not paying $12
no,
for
you don't want to be forced to be in a Rascal.
No, I don't want to be forced to, but if
you
I
just want to
drive around where if I can drive around in a Rascal and bring in free Quick Trip, I'm in.
Now that's pretty good.
Come on now, you're not walking.
Just go to Rascal. Go Raskin. So when you went out there, did you, you're a civilian, right? You're out there not working.
No.
Did you have prepaid parking?
Mm. Yeah, I say my first rodeo.
So did you pay for the parking ahead, or was it just with some tickets?
I paid with the tickets I had. I bought it all in one fell swoop.
Was that $20?
$20.
It's pretty wild, isn't it?
It feels like a lot for a bad team, but also it's $10 cheaper than when you get it there. Right. If you get it, it's $30, which is just asinine. What am I watching, the 2015 Royals?
Of course, it's still less than parking the exact same parking place to watch a Chiefs game.
I understand, but
wild.
The Chiefs have the demand. The Royals don't. I don't want to pay $20 to see Carlos Santana bat fourth, okay? That's my.
Do you want to watch Ryan?
I want none. This is something I've said for a while now, and Kyle Isbell actually played last night, right, and struck out looking in a big situation.
But he had a big hit too, though.
He ripped a double down the line. I think it was the third hardest hit ball for the Royals this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge Kyle Isbell supporter. I think he kind of is who he is. He's what, 27? He's not a super young dude. He's never shown.
There's not a lot of young guys on the Royals.
Not a ton of power. Doesn't really walk. Strikes out way too much for what else he provides. So I'm not a huge Kyle Isbell supporter. That being said, I would much rather see him than O'Hearn, than Carlos Santana. Guys that you know have no shot at being part of the future. At least Isbell has an outside shot, right? It's a low chance. Mm-hmm. It's not ideal, but there's still something. He's had, what, less than 1,000 at-bats in his, there's something there. Throwing out O'Hearn and Carlos Santana because you, for some reason, the Royals think someone's going to bite as a trade partner if Santana gets hot for four games. I just don't understand this. You paid the man. It's a sunk cost.
Get rid of him.
Have they ever got... These dudes all went to college. They all took accounting. I'm sure they were forced to take some sort of business accounting school. They've understood
the
thought process
of
what a sunk cost is, and they still have no idea how to implement it in a real-life scenario. It irritates me to no end. I just don't understand this. I think Dayton Moore or Mike Matheny? It may have been Matheny said, well, we're paying him to be our first baseman. Mm-hmm. You're paying him to bat 126 with a slugging percentage of, what, 200? And you have to throw him in the four hole because he takes, quote-unquote, professional at-bats?
Well, he does more than some of the guys on the team.
No. Lebo, when someone says you take professional at-bats, you know what that means?
It means that
you're horrible. You're not getting on base. You're not doing anything with it.
It takes you more than three pitches to make an out. That's what a professional at-bat is.
But it also means you're not getting on base. If you have a professional at-bat, who says about Juan Soto?
Probably nobody.
You say because he rakes, because he
they
gets on.
They don't have Juan Soto.
I don't care. Josh Bell. He was raking this year, by the way. Yeah, very greedy. Gosh, I'm so irritated.
But it was a fun night at the ballpark. You had a good time.
It was a fun night. I got to hear all about the pizza talk from the Chicago fans in front of me. They actually got into a fight. You know how we get into
arguments? Well, that's how barbecue fights, they get in pizza.
They're like,
fights.
Hey, no, bro, Giordano's, that's the place.
Yeah.
And by the way, all Chicago pizza's pretty bad.
I don't really like the thick pizza.
It's just this thick thing of dough with a little bit of sauce.
It's not my favorite thing. Not my favorite thing. When I'm there, I'll have it, but I don't need it.
And I was outnumbered, so I can't say anything. I can't just be like, your pizza's worse than basically anything here. In the Midwest, I don't know about you, Lebo. I love pizza, and there's some solid pizza spots here, but the Midwest doesn't have this great pizza metropolis, right?
No, it's not really exactly what we're known for.
No, but I would take almost anything in Kansas City over Chicago pizza because I'm not out here trying to eat this thick loaf of bread.
No. I don't want pizza where I only can have like two pieces.
And I have to use a knife?
And then I'm full.
I have to use a knife so I can even fit it in my mouth?
Yeah, I'd rather just be able to eat pizza. I like thin pizza. It's probably some sort of a sin or something, but that's what I like.
Chicago people are just wrong.
That's their thing, though.
There are barbecue
people out there that tell us we're wrong about how we do things, so...
Either way, it was fun.
Yeah.
You know what? It was a good time.
It was a fun day for me to be out there because sometimes our jobs can get a little bit boring, but when we have an action day like that where there's, things afoot, it was fun to get out there and be around that because, like, when these things have happened in the past couple of years, hey, someone got fired, let's do a Zoom. That's no fun. I mean, we were out there in it yesterday, we're in the dugout. broadcasting live, sure. carrying press conferences, talking to people, asking questions, all that stuff. That's the fun part of this job. So it was a pretty crazy day for the Royals. It looked like it was going to be a fun day when they had their eighth inning comeback. But alas, it fell short like it generally does.
Yeah.
I was surprised that they, after pooping it all away on Sunday, that they actually came back and won that game.
Against a good – well, by the way, they came back against a good reliever in Kendall Graveman, by the way, because Kendall Graveman throws
Yeah, it was good.
97
he had a
sinker.
Bad 5 minutes of his life.
Yeah, he did.
You know, it was like he had nothing for them. He was throwing strikes, and they were hitting him hard.
And I like to think it was because me and the other Royals fans, the sparse Royals fans that were out there by the bullpen, were just harassing him.
I have been to Monday is my night to go to the K to cover games. So they haven't had a lot of Monday night games. I've been there a couple times during the afternoon on some games too. But there was 12,000 people. I think that's the biggest crowd that I've been to this year, except for opening day. Because, yeah. I mean, the other time
too.
I was out there, it was like 8,600 announced.
Were you surprised? And it wasn't less than 12,000, in my opinion. It felt like
Like there was 12,000 people there.
At least 12,000.
Yeah.
I would my estimation would have probably been around 15.
You know what my granddad used to do when we would go to the Royals games? They would always put that up there on the screen in like the eighth inning or something. And they used to do a thing where they would put like four things up and they would just, one would disappear. And then this was back when the scoreboard was just the little yellow lights. And my granddad would tell me the same joke every time, and I used to use it with my kids. I would say, you know how to get exact numbers on the attendance? And we go, no, why? How do you do it? And he goes, just count the eyes and divide by two. I'm like, that's a pretty good one, granddad. Then he would tell me the same joke every time. I said, that seems like a lot of work to count every single eyeball and then divide by two.
Yeah, I would probably say, I don't believe you. You do it.
Yeah, go ahead and tell me.
Go ahead, Grandpa.
I used to be pretty good at guessing the approximate. When they put that up there, you'd be pretty good at that. You get a feel for it.
You're a numbers guy?
I know the stadium, and I've been there enough to you kind of feel for what it was. That's why I was with you last night. I think the 12,700 or whatever they said, they were there.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any, like the season ticket holders, it was a nice day. First, every time you get the first day back in a homestand, people are kind of fired up to go out there.
White Sox are a pretty entertaining team.
They are, and they've been away for a while, right? The Royals have been gone for 10 days or whatever it was. It's usually if you have a long homestand, that last day is the one where you're just dragging. It's like Thursday, getaway day. The people that like the
if it's a 110 game too.
If you have a season ticket or like a partial, and you might have a quarter season ticket, and it's a three series homestand. You've probably already gone to two games.
Do you want to see Cam Gallagher behind the dish?
No Cam Gallagher right now, buddy. He's hurt, right?
Yeah.
You people would go out there.
I would see MJ Melendez. Yeah. I would love to see MJ Melendez, but.
Yeah. But it is what it is.
By the way, Cam Gallagher, his WAR is pretty good right now for his limited action. He's not the issue.
Well, the issue
is that playing. Sad? Well, no. My point is, when he's been one of the better players in limited action, that's not saying a lot.
Well, there hasn't been much good action, is what you're saying.
My Nicky Lopez prediction, my comparison of Chris Getz with an eye, starting to look more accurate at this point. I feel bad saying it, but...
Yeah, he's...
It feels more like an outlier of last year when he was outperforming the underlying numbers.
Yeah, and
earlier
this year.
Else.
I mean, he's just kind of a glove guy. You know, hope he can help you a little bit.
But you can't have that many glove guys, and this is what I noticed at the game. I came away with this. The White Sox, what have they focused on? Pitching and power, right?
Right.
Those two things. What have they not focused on?
Glove.
Tim Anderson leading the speed. I mean,
they got some guys who can run a little bit. But
sure,
you're
Tim
not
Anderson
looking for
run.
Jose Abreu to go take first to third.
And Grandal,
Gavin
Sheets,
mm-hmm.
Andrew Vaughn in left field, who is a first baseman. That's like putting Ryan O'Hearn in left field for the entire season and saying, have at it, kid. Like, the Royals are valuing the wrong things. And this is what frustrates me. You can say the ballpark all you want.
Yeah.
Who won last night?
The guys who hit the ball.
The guy who hit the ball the hardest. Yeah. How do they win?
Because
Luis Robert hit a bomb.
Three home runs.
Like, I just don't understand how the Royals continuously do the same thing over and over and over again. And it feels like we're just sitting here saying, well, it makes sense because it's a big ballpark. You know who else has a big ballpark? Colorado.
Yeah, it's thin air. It's different.
Detroit.
Do you have J.C. Mejia? on your NL only fantasy team just suspended 80 games, PEDs.
Is that the same? Is that Francisco Mejia?
JC Mejia, he's the reliever for the, Brewers. You don't have him
catcher.
On there?
All right, no.
You're good.
No.
You're good. Reliever for the Brewers, 80 games in the PED.
Yeah, somehow
I'm
like
sure it was a misunderstanding.
Dude.
He didn't know what it was.
Always, right? Has any of them ever just owned up and been like, yeah, I ripped this thing?
Yeah.
It's always like, no, I was taking a protein shake.
Must have been some tainted beef. I was in the Dominican and the hamburger down there had some different hormones in it. It's got to be that.
It's always
cough
some
medicine.
Have you ever looked up the
I have allergies.
Baseball injury report too? The best injuries, the dude who stayed what are those things? A tanning bed too long so we couldn't play for 3 days. There's one that got salad elbow.
You're kind of a tanning bed guy.
I've never gotten a tanning bed. Fun fact for you.
You're kind of a tanning bed guy.
This is all natural. You know why?
Golfing.
Hit golf balls today. No show on Thursday. You know what I'm doing?
Golfing.
Swope Park, baby.
Aren't you going to sit and watch the PGA?
Yeah, I'll be playing it. Well, I'll wait for the weekend, too, but I'll be playing it on my phone while I watch.
You playing old Swope, regular Swope?
Yeah, haven't played there in a long time.
First place I ever played 18 holes of golf.
I hear it's pretty tight.
Yeah, it's probably tighter now because those trees are 40 years old.
Probably not
they
cutting them back, yeah.
Yeah,
not great for a dude who's long and wild.
I was a
lot of punch outs
in high school, and I'd never played golf. And I had some golf clubs. I'd been to the range, and some buddies were like, "Hey, well, let's go play Swope in the summertime." And it was hot, Kansas City hot. Mm. And we went out there, and we played. And we had pull carts, so we were walking, but not like carrying, and. This was when clubs weighed a lot too. There's no light drivers, you know what I mean? It was just kind of heavy. It was heavy, and we played 18 holes. And we're like, let's play again. Why not?
Sure, why not?
They didn't charge us. We just went around again, and I was like probably 15 years old. Thought I was gonna die coming up 18 the second time through. I'm like, why are we doing this twice?
54, baby.
We should have no. We stopped at 36. Finished. I was freaking exhausted. It was my first experience. I'd love that golf
brutal.
Course, though.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't been there since I was younger, so I'm excited to go out there and check it out.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Do you tear up when Lee Greenwood comes? You know when you go to the stadium and it's salute to service, and then Lee Greenwood comes on proud to be an American?
No, I don't tear up.
Come on.
I don't.
I feel like that's...
I've seen all of those things too many times.
Every single time I hear it...
You get teared up?
I get a little... When he goes, and I proudly stand up... It's that
next
part right
to
there.
You. And defend her still today.
Yeah. When I hear that proudly stand up, the stand up part.
That gets you?
It gets me every time.
Did you cry?
I don't. I'm not saying crying. You're not seeing.
I didn't notice. Did they do they would do the veteran thing too, where they have someone stand up?
That's what they did. There was a veteran.
It was during that.
Yeah, it was during that.
That was that part.
Why else are they playing the song? Just for fun?
Well, sometimes they used to not play that.
It's a great song.
It was a sponsored thing with it.
It was Budweiser. Beer.
It used to be. Not anymore, I don't think. Is it? Did they do Budweiser last
I have
night?
No idea who it is.
I don't think they did.
I was drinking it. I mean,
There's some
soda
exclusivity
pop.
Out there.
A soda pop.
It's difficult to find what you want sometimes at the ballpark. Would they run you for a beer?
13.
But it was a double
IPA.
Beer?
IPA.
Oh, it was just a regular, like a
IPA, pretty
straw.
Big.
Was
probably
it a draw or a can?
Draft, yeah, it was draft.
Might have been a 20.
Probably 20.
Not bad.
IPA. Wasn't horrible, especially because I got those $15 vouchers, you know, that came with the ticket.
So it was kind of, you had a beer.
So it was a free beer and $15 off a t-shirt. I wanted to get, those City Connect Royals jerseys are just incredible.
Yeah.
They said that this was the biggest selling, like, alternative jersey or whatever. Alternative,
for anyone, yeah.
I've
seen the hats everywhere and my...
I saw so many jerseys and they're expensive.
My son bought... I told him Mother's Day was a couple weeks ago, right? And I told him when those things came out, and I was looking through them, and the sweatshirt is the R, which is on the back of the hats.
Sure.
And I said, that looks like something your mom might like, you know, a little Mother's Day. And he actually did it. He came through with it.
He bought one for himself.
You know what the deal is, though? Probably see me wearing that in her someday. I may just take it.
I see what you did.
I may just commandeer that thing and have it someday.
Yeah, she
it's
seems
not quite
like
sweatshirt
she's
weather right now.
Yeah, I think she's a large, men's large. I think is what she is.
Let's go. Let's get that. Let's do that. She likes them roomy. See.
See, smart.
So there you go.
Yeah, you see, that's what you have to do.
I'll definitely be wearing that thing in here.
Snag
but
that.
I've seen
bad
the
boy.
Hats all over the place. So did you end up getting a T-shirt?
I got a T-shirt.
Is it blue with the fountain thing on it?
Yeah, just the blue fountain. I like it the more simple one.
Yeah.
The simple one. They did a great job, and I'm a curmudgeon a lot of times when I'm like, why would you switch to the good thing? I think the Royals jerseys, for the most are really clean. They're good-looking jerseys.
And those look good.
They look really good.
The best thing they've
got
going this year.
That's the best thing they got going is the alternative jerseys.
They got it's the one. They're selling the stuff, man. It's a good one. Mm. Gosh, what if they were good? They'd really be selling.
I mean, they'd be selling tons and tons of those.
Yeah.
Good job to the marketing department.
Yeah,
that would not be fun to work in sales right now for them.
Calling someone up, just, you know, group tickets.
Hey, so how was your experience? Yeah, well, the Royals lost 17-3.
You want to come to the game?
You want to come? Saw Carlos Hernandez get shelled, and Ryan O'Hearn's batting fourth.
Would you like to buy an ad
season
out
tickets
here for 12,000 people to see sometimes?
Yikes.
Run the math on that one.
Mm.
Nice.
I'm okay.
Nice deal.
Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com. Who's your favorite Hanson brother?
The oldest guy. He was the one, right?
Taylor? I think
Is
he's
that,
a drummer.
Was he? Who's the?
I don't remember. I like Hanson, though.
I only know this one song.
Big Hanson. Wow.
I don't know all the catalog.
Running Man, come on.
Yeah. I don't know all that.
I went to Hanson concert before at the Beaumont Club. Think of that. Remember when the Beaumont Club was a thing?
They had a bunch of teenagers at the Beaumont Club?
I was in high school, yeah. I was in high school.
They were still teenagers, probably.
No, they're a little older.
A little older? I remember they were like a family, teenage kids.
They were.
When they had that song.
Just after, similar with Rooney. If you remember Rooney.
Mm-hmm.
That was about the same thing. Little before my time. Loved Hanson.
Tulsa. They're from Oklahoma. I think so.
They got, what's funny is, so that was when they were kids. They got older, and they're still really good. Like, they're, whenever I was like 2016 or 2015, when I was in high school when it came out, I was like, this is a good album.
You didn't say those things out loud to people, though, right?
100%. Hey, good music is good music.
You're running down the hallway talking, did you guys get the new Hanson?
I don't care. I will die on this hill. Good music is good music. I don't care if it's Hanson or not.
Yeah, you're probably dying.
Good song.
You're probably dead.
Just how
you're the only
what's
Hanson
it? Brandon
stan
Mauer
in the
is
world.
Brandon Mauer's going to be a good pitcher?
I don't think so.
I
don't think so. But we'll see what happens with these Royals with this change. With Alex Zumwalt, who they love his ideas and everything, but. It's baseball, man. I was in the clubhouse yesterday before the game talking to like Hunter Dozier and Whit Merrifield, and they're not, they're kind of setting their ways on how they do things.
Sure.
When you've been in the league for a while, you don't really, they don't really want to hear stuff from someone.
Well, they haven't even, well, you could say Whit has been an issue, but you trust him, and as we've seen the past few games, it looks like he's starting to turn a corner here. Dozier hasn't been the issue.
Yeah, but see, you know, how do you tell Hunter Dozier what to do? He was a first-round draft pick. He's gotten a second contract.
You tell him to look at Alex Gordon, Moustakas, Eric Holland, guys who had to get sent down.
Well, he's been sent.
Sure.
He spent his life getting sent
down. But
my
point is, if you can't take direction, you should find that out early on in a dude's career.
I'm not saying they don't want to take direction, but I don't think it really matters who the major league hitting coach is for some of these guys. But it's just kind of window dressing. And that's the one thing that Dayton Moore was talking about yesterday, trying to figure out for a coach, you've got 15, 16, 17 guys at major league level and all the guys you've dealt with in the, you know, training camp and all those things. Each one of them needs to be taught differently. You know, it's the same thing a teacher goes through in a classroom. Not every person is going to get the math problem in 1 second. And doing like fourth grade math is easier than hitting a major league baseball.
Sure.
You'll all have your own way to go do it. And there's really only one way to do math. I mean, there's a couple new different ways to do it, but baseball is so many different ways. The major league hitting coach and the video people, they all have to figure out this guy needs it this way.
Sure.
This guy wants it broken down this way. This guy doesn't need anything. He's sure. just like, he's doing his deal. And so that's, I think, one of the biggest challenges is figuring out how to get your information across in a way that the player wants it. Because if you make the major leagues, even on an organization like the Royals, that it's not the hardest thing in the world to make the major leagues because they're not very good. You're still better than everybody else.
Sure.
You know, and you didn't get there probably when you were a little kid. You probably were just pretty good at it. Most of these guys are really natural athletes and baseball players. They don't need a lot of coaching. So it's kind of an interesting thing, and we'll see if they can kind of figure out a way to get the message to these guys because it needs to be better. They scored in one inning yesterday.
Sure.
And they scored a little bit in Colorado. You almost have to put Colorado out of it because it's just so weird in the air and all that stuff.
I mean, say yes and no. 14 is still going to be 10, 11,
They weren't scoring 7 and 8 and 9 in Baltimore and Texas.
No, they were not.
So they got some work to do. And the warm weather will help a little bit. And hitting has been so bad all across baseball. I mean, the Royals are awful, awful. But look at the stats all across baseball.
They've been down.
They're going to get better.
Sure.
There'll be more offense, I think. If they're not, we're looking at historically just one of these amazing seasons.
Well, it could be, is the ball deadened, right? Have they deadened the ball? Has there been a shift in hitters' approaches? I would say no. I don't think hitters are
trying to
hit.
Remember last year, they took the spider tack away and – and now it seems like guys don't need it to get anyone out.
It is also different when dudes, for the most part, you look in the bullpen now, there's like four guys in each team that throw 100. And now it's not just there's four guys that throw 100, it's four guys that throw 100 and have a filthy slider.
That's one of the things that Mike Matheny said yesterday. It's never been harder because there is more amazing stuff from more pitchers that you have to face every day. It's never been harder to hit.
Well, that's
because
where,
of just what you said. Every bullpen, they maybe not all throw 100, but they all got some stuff, man.
Look at the Royals bullpen even. If you want to look at a team that doesn't have, I don't think, the best bullpen from top to bottom, they have four dudes at least that you're looking at. That's some filthy stuff. Think about Jake Brintz. Not a very good pitcher, but he has some filthy, filthy stuff. Josh Staumont, filthy. That curveball, mm-hmm. Scott Barlow, a slider, a curve, and a fastball, right?
And we were just talking earlier about
Gabe
how
Spire.
These guys are fine, but remember when they had the greatest bullpen of all time? They were literally all throwing like 99 or 100.
That was
and
different.
Then, and then they had these you know, Greg Holland would throw a slider that bounced 4 feet in front of you and swung. And then Herrera would throw an 89-mile-an-hour changeup.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just, it's everywhere. They all got guys.
Graveman.
And so it's hard to hit. And you don't get to face the same guy three times.
Nope.
And these teams have gotten smart. They're like, you know what, we can only make it through twice. We're not sending a guy through third time through. Sorry, not this guy. Have your luck with these other dudes.
Graveman threw a 91-mile-an-hour changeup last night.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that. At least that's what registered as, because you're throwing 96 sinker. And that's what's so difficult. I think it's easier to have an impact with a pitching coach than a hitting coach for that reason we just laid out.
Right.
The analytics that you've seen from Tampa Bay, Houston did a great job with it. If you looked at guys who've gone to Houston and had success, they have a good program where it's like, this is the spin rate. This is how you get this pitch better. You look at San Francisco, looking at Jake Junis, former Royal. I mean, I think pitching coaches have a bigger impact on pitchers. And we're sitting here in Kansas City. All these young, highly touted prospects have not been able to figure it out. This, to me, speaks more about the pitching staff on Cal Eldred than it does anything else.
Dayton Moore said yesterday, and he said it again today when he was on the Zone with Jason Anderson on 810. It's on him, too. They picked these guys.
Sure.
And he mentioned Jacob Junis and how Jacob Junis was kind of – he basically said he was unwilling to take the teaching they were giving him.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, once again, same thing. They've all made it here. They all think they don't need a lot of help. And he said it today. That's as plain as I've heard anyone say it about Jacob Junis today. When Dayton Moore said he had a lot of people in his head and we wanted him to do this and Cal Eldred wanted him to do this. He wanted him to throw his slider 60 to 70% of the time and he didn't want to do it. You know, and now he's doing it. And
because it's an organization that's had a proven track record of success. When the Royals tell you to do it, you're not going to do it because you go, why would I do this?
Their point is that they need to listen to what they're coaching to them and that, like, you know, we'll see what happens with Brady Singer tonight. They want him to throw a changeup. He doesn't throw it. He won't throw it. Maybe he'll throw it more now. Maybe he will finally acquiesce and go, you know what? I want to do this forever, and if I'm going to get paid a lot of money, I'm going to have to try something different. We'll see.
I would love to see a Trevor Hoffman performance where he just throws almost entirely changeups to prove a point.
That's what Zach Greinke used to do.
Fine.
Zach Greinke didn't do it because they told him to. He'd just be like, I think I wanted to throw a whole game where I just threw my fastball. You know, he used to do that. And, like, he led the league in losses 1 year. I'm just trying to do this.
I remember in spring training 1 year, this is when he still had 95, 96 velo, and he was in Arizona when he was with the Diamondbacks. And the coach was like, you need to focus on this more and less on the velocity. And so for one game, he threw like only 87 miles, which is what he throws now, which is funny enough.
Right.
But he goes, and he was getting shelled. And he came out just to prove a point, was like, this is why velocity matters. Yeah. This is why I can't just sit here and paint in corners, which, funny enough,
well, then you
now.
Get older and you can do it.
Sure.
But you don't throw like that if you can throw the other way.
Yeah.
Except just occasionally.
When does Cal Eldred go? When is it time?
Well, it didn't sound to me like when Dayton Moore was talking about that it's any time close. They'll tell you that look at Brad Keller this year. They'll say look at Daniel Lynch this year. If you're going to say that Brady Singer's been a failure and Jacob Junis has been a failure, you have to say this other guy's been a success. You can't have it both ways. And we've said this a bunch of times.
Sure.
When you got four guys who you picked in the top 60 picks or whatever it was, they're not all going to be good. They're not all going to hit. They're not all going to be. You make all these bets. It's not a perfect parlay when you put them all out there. Mm. If they end up hitting with some of them, and I'm not shutting the door on Singer.
And what about Ace Lacy, who we've not
I guess I did see Kaderna is going to pitch this week.
Okay.
He hasn't thrown yet. He's gonna make his pro debut this week, so he's going to get out there and pitch.
What is up with Ace Lacy? Because he was supposed to be the best of the bunch.
Well, he had some injuries. So he hadn't pitched. So
it just feels wild that you can draft that many guys with that many highly touted draft picks, and this is what it's coming to. Again, you're not going to get 100% right. No one. Look at the Astros. Even the Astros had all those high draft picks, and they turned it into.
So they couldn't even sign some of them.
But the point is, at least some turned into Altuve, George Springer, Alex Bregman.
Well, they didn't draft Altuve.
Okay.
They signed him. But Bregman, Correa,
Springer.
Yes.
Some have to hit.
Yeah. And the Royals have hit, but it's been a while. I mean, they hit Eric Hosmer was a hit. Mike Moustakas was a hit. I mean, they're not like Carlos Correa. I'm not saying that. But they were guys who contributed to a winning team that helped win a World Series and got paid elsewhere. I mean, those are not failures.
No, they were not failures.
They're not failures. But they ain't had a hit in a bit. You know, that's why Bobby Witt has to hit.
And it can't just be.
Because Bubba Starling was a failure. I know he made the major leagues. Anyone make the major leagues, whatever. But if he was a seventh-round draft pick, never would have played the major leagues. Mm-hmm. If he was not from Gardner, if he was from some place in Ohio and picked in the third round, never would have been a major league with the Royals. I mean,
correct.
You kind of proved your point. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, he made the majors. Well, he didn't have to. You put him up there. Just because he made it didn't mean he really made it. And so, but who's their hit in the first round? Since Hosmer.
Hunter Dozier.
I mean, Christian Colon was part of the
big hits.
You better take it. I mean, he did some things, but he's no successful major leaguer.
Luke Hochaver.
And I guess Hunter Dozier is a guy who's a successful. I mean, he's a contributing player
on a bad team.
On a bad team, and he's had a couple of years that are okay.
Yeah.
And in the end, that's a hit, but that's not a hit.
No.
I mean, that's not you crushed it, you know. And they need, that's why they need Ace Lacy, Bobby Witt. They need these guys to be something.
I brought up something yesterday that was interesting. I want to hear your thoughts on this. When you have a draft class with all young pitchers, what would you think of a thought process of when they're going through the minors, if they have a coach that they are drawn to, that they have a lot of success with? For example, let's say Jackson Coar in AAA. He was having a lot of success with that pitching coach. Mm-hmm. Why not try to at least bring him up to the major league level in some capacity? It'd be different. It'd be unique. Obviously, you can't do it with every single guy. It just feels, though, if you want to have success and they find success with a certain guy.
Well, I would think if you're on the organization, you could maybe have a little talk with him or something. There's probably some sort of thing, hey, once you're gone, you don't do it. But I would think, generally speaking, if a pitcher had great success in AAA, it's because he's facing a bunch of guys who aren't major league hitters.
Sure.
You know.
But a .86, that's not a fluke, okay? AAA, while it's not major league, there's some dudes in AAA.
But I've still heard more than one person say there's never been a bigger gap between AAA and Major League Baseball than there is now.
I heard that a lot,
because
yeah.
of the year of development with COVID and the shrinking of the minor leagues and all those things, that's a reason why it's a huge, huge gap this year. And it's always been a big jump. I mean,
sure.
Each jump gets harder.
Yeah.
You know, but there's a big gap right now between AAA and there. But hey, listen, they should try anything. The Royals should not say, they should not be naysayers and say, nah, can't do it that way. They should try it all.
And that's my point here is sometimes doing something that seems weird, that seems unique, out of the ordinary, that might not seem to make the most sense, can work. The Oakland Athletics did it with Moneyball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay Rays continuously do it every single year, year in and year out. They go, let's find one guy who does one thing well, and we'll just focus and hone in on that, right? Doing something different or weird, especially when you're in a small market, can work. You're not the Yankees. You can't give a $250 million contract to Jacoby Ellsbury. That fails, and then you give out $20 million a year contracts to other dudes.
That's what the Royals did a little bit in 13, 14, 15, 16. They played the game a little bit differently. They
and
said,
it works.
We can't do it this way. And then baseball kind of copied it for a while, and I guess it's kind of still that way.
I would say it's still that way.
Yeah, it's maybe a different thing because, like, you know, when the Rays go with true openers and all that stuff. But, you know, they did try that, and they're still kind of trying to do it that way. But I think they felt like they needed some arms that could throw them five innings. And right now, I mean, listen, Brad Keller was good last night.
And he's not the problem.
And Lynch has been okay, and Grinke's been okay. I honestly do feel the hitting was a bigger problem than the pitching for this
you
team.
You do? Okay.
I do feel that because they did have some successful things happening with pitching.
And some bullpen pieces have looked really, really good.
What have they had hitting this year that's been okay?
Benintendi.
All right, there ends the list.
Yep.
There's one guy.
One guy.
And
he's been
okay. He has not
been better than okay.
Yeah, but he's
come
not.
Come on.
What's the OPS at 1,400? No.
No, it's like 790, 780. Okay. I think it was 789 last I saw. Yeah. No, I get that. But Benintendi's not going to have a huge OPS to begin with. He doesn't hit a lot of home runs.
Right.
He's not extremely fast.
He's
not going to get a lot.
He's batting 300. It's pretty stark when everyone else is batting one.
No,
something.
I get that.
You should not look up in May and see ones.
Correct.
In your batting order.
In multiple
spots.
Positions.
Like And, you know, you shouldn't go bases loaded, no one out, strikeout, you know, bloop to second.
Yeah.
With the heart of your order.
You would hate to see it.
You hate to see it. But it happens.
All
so
too
I don't
often.
I mean, in the end, your pitchers or your hitters, it's not the hitting coach as much as the hitter. But if you're going to make a change, you can't fire all the players.
No.
You can't do it.
It's also roster construction, which I mentioned. If you are in
today's
day and age.
Well, then that's all on Dayton.
And I think it is because you're looking at it again. What team won in Kauffman last night? What team's probably going to win in Kauffman the next four games? If you're taking the White Sox, the Royals, and look at how they are built,
and
how
the Royals are underdogs almost every day.
Look how they're constructed.
Yeah,
it's not speed and defense. Sorry,
hitting bombs.
Yeah, take a quick break. Come back to home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Since Lebo made fun of my Hanson take, here you go.
This is some kids from Tulsa. No. This is some old men from California.
I like Metallica.
I love them. They're my favorites of all time.
I do get tired how some radio stations think there's only two bands that have ever walked the earth in Nirvana and Metallica. I don't understand how it's, we got next on Metallica, a song you haven't heard in a while. And it's just Enter Sandman. Always.
You need to start Drake. Turn me on to this podcast called The History of Rock in 500 Songs. I think you'd appreciate it because you like music.
I dig it.
Yeah, it's cool. They go through, I mean, this. He's only up to like the early 70s or late 60s right now. He's going through like 500 songs. He tells the history of the song and the band and how it went about and all
that's
this
cool.
Stuff. It's pretty interesting. It's a British guy doing them. They're wild.
That feels like a lot of work.
Yeah, but you know, you're driving around, doing your job, going places.
No, I would dig it. I would dig it.
You know?
My main qualm I have with, because I love just radio in general,
mm-hmm.
it's the same songs. That's why I love, the bridge is great.
They got all kinds of wild music.
I like checking out new stuff.
Yeah. It's the consultants at the radio stations know what songs a large number of people like, and they give them what they want.
They know what I hate, and they're going to play it.
Some of us are contrarians. Some people aren't. There's a lot of sheep out there, lemmings, who just want to hear the same things over and over. They're out there.
I would rather listen to Crocus than hear Welcome to the Jungle.
There's just not enough Crocus out there, is there?
There's not enough Crocus.
Yeah. Says the guy who starts and ends his show with Red Hot Chili Peppers. There's been plenty of that out there.
Do you know this song?
I don't know the name of it.
Do you know the song? Do you know the song?
No.
What's the album?
One of them.
Exactly.
Californication.
It actually is Californication.
See, it was just a guess, and I got it right.
This Velvet Glove.
Can't you find a Crocus song to end the show with?
Their cover of Ballroom Blitz.
No,
I'll throw that
just
one.
Find some sweet, like, middle long, part of a long Crocus.
Stick goes boom.
Find a Crocus
long
song.
Stick
end the show
goes boom.
See?
Just real.
You gotta back up what you're talking about.
What do you mean? I back it up all the time. Lebo.
Ha ha!
Thank you to Todd Lebo. This is the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas. We'll be back live in studio tomorrow from 3 to 4 p.m. We are out.